you'll see in the bulletin, our topic for today is superheroes. So we get taught in seminary that you should try to be relevant on your topics for your sermon. So I have to preach something about Mother's Day, maybe. But then I also need to take into account what's going on around us. Now, if you are a follower of superheroes or superhero movies, you will quickly point out to me the fact that there's currently a movie going on about superheroes. And I've heard a lot of talk about Avengers Endgame. Is it the last one? I hope so. Not. I showed my cards too quickly. Sorry. I'll just take my cards back. So there's a movie, Avengers Endgame, and we are in this superhero craze for almost 11 minutes. So that's one thing. I'll speak a bit more about the movie. The other thing is, every mother thinks that her donkey is a thoroughbred racehorse. So every mom thinks that her kid is kind of like a superhero. When they take their first baseball bat in their hand, the best baseball player that ever grew up in this town, and they will make the major leagues. When they put on their first pair of skates and they take that little frame to go out on the ice, yeah, they see the makings of an NHL player, and they can see them lifting the Stanley Cup. That's just the way moms work. So I thought maybe it's a good day to speak about superheroes, because there's a lot of moms thinking that they're superheroes. And then also, we've got this superhero craze in movies. And it really is a craze. It started about 11 years ago. Probably flared up. I think it was there before. But like, you just get the statue. Avengers Endgame, that is currently showing, I think it's been running for 2 weeks. Is it longer? I just don't know this. I think it's 2 weeks. It grossed at the movies, at the box office, $276 million up to now. And it'll probably run another 2 or 3 weeks, and then there will be DVD sales, Blu-ray sales. So, yeah. The second highest for the year is Captain Marvel, $422 million, which is also a superhero movie. The third one, $174 million, and it's not a superhero movie. And it's just getting into the year. So, last year, superhero movies, for most income growth at the box office. Black Panther, superhero, $700 million. Avengers Infinity War, $678 million. Incredibles 2, it's animation, but it's superheroes, $608 million. Then fourth place, not superhero. Fifth place, superhero. Sixth place, superhero. Seven, not superhero. Eight, Mission Impossible, don't know. Then we get Ant-Man in the ninth place. It's superhero movies that people have got this craze with. They just want to watch superhero movies. And as I said, it's been going on for, I think, about 11 years. Every network has got a show running about superheroes. And it's not just the last 11 years. We've had this fascination with superheroes, I think, forever. So I need you to help me going back through the years. What's the oldest superhero that you know of? The furthest back I can go is the original Superman with Christopher Reeve. Batman older than Superman? Superman. You're just a youngster. Is Superman the oldest one? Should I give you a bit wider scope? We're not just talking about movies. You had superheroes in your comic books. Did you not? Yeah, was Captain America not a comic book hero before you became part of the movies? So what's the oldest one? Nobody knows? Superman? I think so. Yeah. So it has been so long that we had this fascination with superheroes. And when you go to the movies, okay, we think superheroes, kids, toys. When you go to the movies, look at the majority of people sitting there, not kids, it's adults. If you look at the majority of people watching these shows on television, it's not kids. It's adults. So it's not a kid thing, but it's a human thing. We just love the superheroes. And a lot of people would know a lot of superhero names. So I think if we would spend some time on that, which we shouldn't probably do now, we could get a few names down, and everybody would probably be ready to offer a name of a superhero. So, there's just, I think there's a picture of the collaboration of all the superheroes, and there's lots in there. I mean, you can see Captain America, the Shield, and I don't even know what the 10% of them, but there's lots of them. Lots of them. My question is this, what is the reason of the success of this superhero craze? Or why are people so fascinated with superheroes? Why does every network carry a show with superheroes in there? Help me out. What's the reason of this craze? And the reason behind our fascination? Could it be that with everything we see around us in our culture, that we've got all these bad things happening around us. We've got the ugliness in the world that we see. And then we dream about a humankind Messiah. Well, not the actual Messiah Jesus, but a human-like Messiah that can just save us in this world from this world. Somebody that will help us to cope with all the ugliness in the world. Could it be that we've got a need to get rid of all this ugliness that we see? And in that, a need for somebody to help us do that. Now, in a short moment, I will be exploring the seven phases that a superhero goes through. And it is especially the first and the second last phase of becoming a superhero that we identify with the most. And the second last one is probably the phase that we also long for the most. Now, those two, I'll get into that a bit later, is the realization of an insignificant existence. That is probably the one that we identify most as people. And then the second one, the second last one, is one that we long for, and then we identify with that as well, is the use of our power to promote good and fight evil. Now, I'll get into that stage in a bit, but Jim Clifton of the Gallup Organization wrote a book called The Coming Job Wars a couple of years ago. And in that, he states they did a lot of studies in big companies, and they found that big companies replaces employees, regardless of the level, within a week. Any employee, that's the median. They will replace anybody within a week. And then it continues in the book saying, but it's not just that is the fact. That is the way we feel. We feel that we don't make an impact. We feel like we are replaceable in the same way. We feel that we don't have a purpose. And we feel that should we leave this earth one day, there might not be a footprint that we ever walk this earth. There might not be any legacy. All this while we long for the power to make a difference in this world. To make the bad and the ugly in the world just a little bit less. To make it just a little bit better. And every person, and I truly believe that deep down, every person wants to be that person that makes the world a better place. So we want to make the world a better place. The good news is that God asks of each one of us to be a superhero. God asks of every one of us to make a difference in this world. God asks of every one of us to overcome evil with good. He asks us to, wherever we go, to take some of the bad in that area away and exchange it for the good. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus' command, and we call it the greatest commandment. It was his last commandment that he gave us before he ascended into heaven. He said, go then to the people and teach them everything that I taught you. Show them what I have shown you. From Matthew 28. In the Acts account, Acts 1 verse 8, he said, you guys will be my witnesses. You would, what I started, you would continue. So go now and do that. But then to become a superhero, you need to go through the same seven phases as being not a superhero. You will have it on the screen in a bit. I'm not going to read one single passage of scripture today. I'm going to read a passage of scripture for every of these phases. So you're welcome to follow it on the screen. Everything is on the screen, so you don't need to flip through the pew Bible. Now, when I go through these seven stages, think of Spider-Man, think of the Flash, whoever is your superhero. Think of them, your significant superhero, as I go through these phases. The first one that you'll always find with them is they have a realization of an insignificant existence. It will be like Clark Kent. He's a nerdy guy. He's so unattractive and But then when he puts on his Superman suit, he's a handsome guy. I mean, the hairstyle is different than everything. But before he became a superhero, he's just this uninteresting guy, feeling quite insignificant. Then what normally happens to them, they get into a crisis moment. Either they get bitten by a spider and almost die, or they get struck by lightning, or something explodes. The building explodes when they are in it, or and something bad happens to them. And more often than not, it goes hand in hand with something terribly sad that happens to them. Maybe somebody they love die in that explosion, or but it's a crisis moment. It's more than just a physical crisis, it's also an emotional crisis for them. Then they develop a supernatural power. All of a sudden, they've got this weird power that they didn't have before this, as a result of whatever happened to them. But then they start to run into stuff. They start breaking stuff because of this power. Somebody might try to lift up a heavy suitcase and they've got this weird power and threw it through the roof. Or they try to hug somebody and they nearly break all their ribs. They get into all these awkward situations because of this new power. The Flash can run fast, so he ran into things. They don't know how to use this power. So there's a misinterpretation and a misuse of this new power. And oftentimes they would hurt people. And it would all be accidental. But then they gain a better understanding of their own power and influence. And most often this would happen through a mentor figure. A lot of times it would be someone that was in a similar situation before, that is a retired superhero or a superhero that got hurt or that is now stuck in a wheelchair, or there's a lot of times a person like that or a group of people like that that would mentor them through this phase of their life to gain better understanding of the influence and this new power. And then they start using their powers for promoting good and fighting evil. But almost at the same time, they learn that there is something that makes them vulnerable. Something that will neutralize their power. And through this understanding their own power better, they need to learn how to continue the good work with this vulnerability. Do you see these seven phases in the life of the superheroes? But pretty much all of them have them. If they miss one, they miss normally just one. This is the seven stages that they go through. And I said, we should be superheroes. And I said, two significant phases for us is the first and the second last. So this, we will also start at the first phase here. The realization of an insignificant existence. And this is where we make our first mistake. We start thinking that God also thinks about us in this way. We think we are insignificant. We are not changing anything in this world. People won't miss me when I'm gone. When I leave town, there might be a party, but 2 weeks later, everybody will have forgotten all about me. And then we think God thinks about us in the same way. But this is the beginning of every superhero journey. at this point, thinking that the existence is insignificant. And every Christian's journey also starts here. Every Christian's journey starts like this, realizing that I am actually nothing without you. Realizing that if it wasn't for God reaching out to me, I would be nothing. And David came to the same conclusion. He wrote in Psalms 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. If I see your great power and what you can do and what you did, what are we that you care for us?" It continues, and it's quite nice. It's a little bit less than the heavenly creature. But he also pondered this, that we are nothing without God. But to come to this realization normally happens when we are confronted with some kind of crisis. When something bad happens in my life. Something that makes me realize I cannot continue any further without God. I am just in too deep. And oftentimes, at first, we fight with God in those moments. And sometimes this can hurt. This wrestling with God, this fighting with God in that crisis moment. Let's read about Jacob's crisis moment. It's from Genesis 32. "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for he is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" So we know the story about Jacob wrestling with God there at Bethel. And Jacob's fight with God was so intense that he was left with a physical limp. And more often than not, when we are confronted with these crisis moments, it will leave scars. There was wounds, and they did heal, but the scars stayed. And we still carry them with us till this day, of all those crisis moments that we live. But have you thought about it this way? If the crisis and the struggle, the wrestling with God, was not so intense in your moment of crisis, if it was not so intense, would it have been enough to make us realize that we cannot continue any further without God? If it wasn't so intense, if it was just a baddish time, then we'd a lot of times get out of it and say, "Yeah, I did good. I did all the steps and I got through it." But if it's bad enough that we know we cannot get through it without God, it's not better that it was bad enough. That we had to realize we need God in that situation. And we all have times like that in our lives. And oftentimes, most often after the crisis, after seeing God's gentle hand in all of this, after seeing God accompanying us through that, we are convinced that we can take on the world with God on our side. After coming through that struggle, after noticing God in all of it, when we get through, we've got this power, because we know that God is with us. And we will take on the whole world with God on our team, with God on our side. And he promises that he will give us the power for that. He will give us this supernatural power In Acts 1, verse 8, I've referenced it earlier. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses, but I will give you the power for that. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do everything. God gives me the strength. He's got this, his chest all pressed out and saying, I can do all things. God is with me. He's got this newish power, like feels like I can take on the world with God on my side. But with every one of the superheroes, there is this supernatural power. With everyone. Every superhero has got a superpower. And these powers differ from hero to hero. Spider-Man doesn't do the same as Superman. He doesn't have the same powers. Hulk doesn't do the same as Captain America. Iron Man doesn't do the same as Thor. Every one of those superheroes has got his own superpower. It's the same with us as Christians. We all have got a supernatural power, God's Spirit in us. But it looks differently in each one of us. It doesn't look the same. God gave each of us gifts, spiritual gifts, different gifts, but he gave to all of us. And Paul tries to explain to us by using the metaphor of a body, saying just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And just like the Avengers need all these other Avengers with them, any single one of them, to overcome their enemy. And when any one of the Avengers is missing from the group, they struggle. When somebody is out of action for a while, the rest of the group of Avengers struggle until this guy chips in again. Then everything is good. In the same way, any one of us would be missed if we don't come with our gifts that God gave us. We would be missed when the rest of our church, the rest of the Christians, the rest of the church worldwide tries to make a difference in the world. We miss anyone that is not contributing. Because you've got this unique package of talents and background personality that God gave you. And he plans for his kingdom around your package of gifts, background, personality. And then if anyone with their power is missing, we struggle. We struggle. Take to the next stage. Unfortunately, whenever we become aware of this great power that we have inside of us, God's Spirit that spurs us on, we oftentimes get just over-eager to use this new power. We get over-eager to fulfill this role that God called us to. And we get so over-eager that we sometimes hurt people. We get so over-eager that we sometimes look as if we are approaching everything
without love. We get so over-eager that we tend to look judgmental to a lot of people. Because we are so serious about introducing this same God to other people. We want them to have what we have. We want them to get to know Jesus in the same way we got to know Him. And then sometimes we are so eager to introduce them to Jesus, we create the phase two for them. We create the crisis for them. So we grab them by the collar and tell them, you see that road? If you walk over across that road and a bus runs over you, where do you go, heaven or hell? It's not always a bad approach, but it's definitely not always a good approach. Sometimes we need to sit with people. But sometimes we do this because we are so eager to get them to know Jesus. So we create phase two for them. We create the crisis for them. Just thinking that you can die any minute now is a crisis. My life is in the balance. Sometimes we are just so taken up by this new way of life, by Jesus, by this power of the Spirit in us, that we try to force the same thing down the throats of other people. Because we just want them to have it. It's like giving medicine to a kid. You just want them to have them, get it down any way possible. There are other ways to do this. But we get so excited because of this. That is a good thing. That doesn't mean that it's a bad thing, that our power is a bad thing, that Jesus in our lives is a bad thing. We're just so excited about it. So then we find ourselves at stage four of the superhero process or phases. Let's use this new power. And then the same thing that happened to the Pharisees. They were actually good guys, but our New Testament view on them, we actually hate them. They were all bad guys. They were actually good. They had good intentions. It played out not so well. So look in Matthew 23, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were sitting in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries, these hair on the side, wide, and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and be called rabbi by others. So we need to be careful of this. We need to be careful to become like them. But there is a solution to this, to that phase four, to this misinterpretation and misuse. And that is to gain a better understanding of our own power and influence in God's kingdom. We need to be walked alongside by somebody. A lot of times it's one mentor. Sometimes it's our community of believers. Or somebody that's just a few steps ahead of us on this journey of following Jesus. We just need some guidance. So, in 1 Peter, we find this led to the elders. And it's not just the ordained elders. It's the people that's more mature in the faith. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. Because you are willing, I guess, as God wants you to be, not pursuing this honest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Because of stage four, God gave each other, or gave us to each other. Because of that misuse, that a possibility of this great power, of this excitement, God grouped us together in communities of faith, saying, but you guys be together and help each other on this way. Help each other discern your gifts. Help each other discern how to approach your community so that people would see you approaching them with love and not condemnation. And then, of course, with it, Hebrews 10, 25 says, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Because in communities of faith, we search for the answer and we learn and we teach each other how to use our collective gifts in service of God's kingdom. And then we will start seeing the fruit of that. People will start serving God because of our example. And when superheroes start using their power to promote good and to fight evil, that is when we start seeing the fruit. And that is when the fruit looks like this, the first church in Acts. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Superheroes neutralized the impact of the bad and the ugly around them by bringing the good. And when superheroes start using their power for the good in this way, that is when we start hearing about superheroes who start making shoes, and for every pair that they sell, they can make another pair to distribute in South America where the kids don't have any shoes, but some shoes. Then we hear about superheroes that decided to start a Bible distribution point in Dubai, where people cannot get their hands on the Bible. Then we hear about superheroes that started taking older people to the grocery store to buy their groceries because they cannot get there themselves. Then we hear about superheroes who decided to go study teaching because they know they get the opportunity to influence 30 kids' lives every day. In this way, God's superheroes start to neutralize the bad and ugly in this world. But you're probably waiting for this. Phase 7, kryptonite. They discover their vulnerability. Every superhero has got a vulnerability. Every one of them. And almost at the same time that they learn how to not misuse this great power in them, they learn of this vulnerability. And they learn how to still continue doing the good work without this vulnerability utilizing them. And we spoke about it just over a year ago, about these jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. When I have the cup that drops on the boat, we've got this vulnerability inside of us, and we need it. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given the thorn of my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power will rest on me. That vulnerability keeps us from just becoming arrogant because of this power in us. That's the thing that keeps us from, but that should keep us from being judgmental, from condemning people. Because we all have a vulnerability. And God says, you know what? I want to use you with that vulnerability. Bring that with. I want to use you just as you are. So yes, God asks of every one of us to be a superhero. He asks of every one of us to make a difference in this world, to advance his kingdom in this world, to overcome evil with good. To everywhere that we go, to exchange all the bad and ugly around us for good. And it was part of Jesus' commandment when he left this earth to go to it. You go on, you do that. I'll give you the power, you do the job. But to become a superhero, you need to be willing to go through these 7 phases that all superheroes have to go through. You are God's superhero.
you've been called to be superior. So act like it. It's time for us to act like superior. To change this world, this power in us. It's time for us to act up with the superior grace that we currently have. Let's close our eyes and